everyone, and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor. I'm OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love. Woo! Staying alive, staying alive.
Let's go. Let's go. We're doing it. We just recorded an interview for a very legit podcast in Prague.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. It was neato. It was like super chill and stuff.
Yeah, you want to learn more about us and our personal lives.
Yeah, we got interviewed. Yeah. Anyway, the podcast is called Wise Fool Pod. And you can see their website is www.wisefoolpod.com.
Yeah, so we're a little we're all warmed up. We're very warmed up right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're also going crazy.
Going crazy also. That's also happening.
Yeah, just going nuts, really seeing the world disintegrate.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
One thing that I'm very confused about, I mean, I'm confused about fucking everything right now, but this is just sort of like a statistical thing. Like, seeing the death count of COVID is confusing me because basically,
let's get right into it. Let's go.
I just right up. No, this right is up top.
I know. This is all I post. I just kind of like inundate like all the normies on Facebook and Twitter. But everyone knows my Twitter is crazy. But the just like murder count, murder count. Here's the murder count. Let's go.
Yeah. God. So I know I've been keeping track of the murder count, and basically, I'm finding that it is really inaccurate.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, and it's just sort of like everyone is using numbers once again to try to get a grasp on emotional realities when ultimately the murder count of this whole pandemic and the response is unknowable. The amount of people who are being left out of treatments for like heart disease and things should be counted.
They should be counted.
The people who are going into like diabetic shock should be counted. Like,
yes, I think that Gothamist piece is good, but it doesn't go far enough. There's the Gothamist piece that was going around that was saying that over 200 New Yorkers a day are dying in their homes, and that they should be counted. Doesn't go far enough.
No, yeah, it really doesn't, because it's sort of just chalking everything up to this idea that people get sick and then go home and die. But it's like, yeah, you're not really covering the fact that we're actually creating like a national death panel and just like, I mean, and it's something that was prefaced. We talked about Italy doing the same thing, and it's all kind of public knowledge that it's happening in other places. But here it's sort of like, oh, well, you know, there's also all of these deaths that happened before we had like accurate testing.
It's driving me insane listening to fucking Cuomo. I'm sorry, this is a refrain for us to say fucking Cuomo on this podcast, but it is driving me fucking insane that he's like, hospitalizations actually down, time to reopen the fucking, you know, we're gonna start to plan, guys, to reopen the economy, because look, hospitalizations down, cool. It's because you're so fucking incompetent that people are afraid to go to the hospital and are dying in their homes, or the hospital staff is overworked and underpaid and being fucked with so much that more people are dying in the hospital than need to die.
Yeah.
Or like, than should have died.
Absolutely. And I think people are starting to pick up on that a little bit because his approval rating is going down. But instead of realizing that our leadership is just like completely willing to give us kind of a song and dance routine, it's just like, oh, well, now we love Gavin Newsom. And it's like, who knew that this would, now we're just looking to governors, like,
we thought that we could, like, yeah, we thought we could, like, get the, like, liberal dog brain to be like, here, guys, Bernie Sanders, here, no, here you guys go, no. Here, and that did not work.
Oh my god, and that's been so completely miserable, too, just, like, watching how little people actually gathered from our support of Bernie Sanders, you know, like, because for me, it seemed clear that Bernie was not gonna win. I mean, even though we were like,
I know.
The thing is, Bernie Sanders is my president and he's your president. He's our choice out of the people that you could choose. And he got the tarot card of emperor because he runs the empire of non-empire.
Yeah, which is who we were drawing with and for.
Yeah, and it's just sort of like watching all of this fucking libs just go nuts about a loss, like as if we like deluded ourselves into thinking that the establishment was gonna just let our boy in. Like,
it's sad. I mean, because I'm gonna say that I had hope at one point, and I try not to.
I mean, I had hope.
But I did at one point.
I had hope. No. Well, here's the weird thing. I had both.
Yeah. Like, that's a dialect?
Yeah. I was like, oh my god, this would be amazing. I can see it now. Imagine, like, all of this stuff that is plaguing us would be taken care of, and we would be given the agency to save our own lives because he would help us to, like, you know, support labor and you know, restructure unions and have the healthcare we need and just, like, put a cap on the banks and, you know, tax the wealthy. Like, all of those things made such a clear picture of the way that our country could operate, and that sweet taste isn't gone.
And I got depressed because I thought it would convert more libs than I think it has.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, definitely. It just seemed like his, you know, his popularity was fucking skyrocketing. He killed in California. He slayed. Yeah. He was like, I mean, he's also gaining enough delegates to be a serious threat.
If he had any teeth.
I mean, I don't know. I think at a certain point, it's like he never wanted maybe to take it all the way because he did the same thing of endorsing, just like tip of the hat.
Well, I also blame Obama. Fuck Obama.
Oh my god, Obama, what a fucker.
He is, because he, from the whole start of this election cycle, right? From the very beginning, from the DNC chair elections, he pushed his guy, Tom Perez.
Yeah.
Who then rat fucked this entire fucking process throughout the primaries. That's Obama. That's on Obama.
Oh, totally. And then he got every single other candidate
moderate to drop.
Yeah, to drop and to endorse Biden.
Immediately.
Just went for it. And then and today, then, oh my god, fucking Elizabeth Warren, Jesus Christ.
And Bernie.
I mean, but Bernie just does that as part of his strategy. It's so mechanical that I almost am not mad.
Well, I'm that way with Warren. I feel like with Warren it's mechanical, and I'm surprised that she didn't do it first. But the story, I'm referring to the story where Obama literally called Bernie and got him to endorse so quickly.
Yeah, I just wonder how that conversation went, you know? It's like,
yeah.
It's like, "Hey, so I'm going to break both your legs if you don't endorse Biden." And then he's like, "Listen, I was already planning on doing it. It's all right. This is what I do. I drop out and then
whatever you say, boss, you are the boss of the party and I respect you.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, probably assassination is like on the other side of that.
Honestly, yeah. Honestly,
with
yeah.
Obama? Are you kidding?
All right, I agree. I fucking agree, dude. I agree. These people are psychopaths. These like, you know, yacht fuckers. That's all they plot. That's what they do on the yacht, man.
Just imagine
if it's not pedophile stuff.
Fucking a yacht.
If it's not pedophile stuff, it's assassination stuff.
Oh, totally.
Or it's both.
It's both.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. Practice some pedophilia, drop the body in a ditch, and then kill all the witnesses. Like, and then you know, take a little money to write a hellfire bill.
I had a memory, like a memory come back to me last night of like the day they killed Jeffrey Epstein. I had a plan with a group of my friends to go to Hot Pot. right when it happened, we were on the bus to Flushing, and I was just like kind of, you know, doing my whole freaking out, like looking at my phone.
Oh yeah, it like, oh my god, the updates are coming in, guys.
And just being all like tinfoil hat, and I'm like, guys. I'd just gotten back from Japan and I was like, you know, I was catching up with all my friends after that. And like, I had like little gifts for them and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I had a really, really great time. I'm really glad I went, even though I couldn't really afford it. I just like figured it out because I really think it's going to get a lot harder for us to travel.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember your phase of alerting everyone to the imminent downturn. Speaking of Epstein, has anyone been keeping tabs on our boy Harvey since he's been moved?
Oh, does he has COVID too?
Well, Harvey Weinstein, it was like he's at Rikers, right? And then it was like, oh, he's got COVID, he's being moved, no other information. I haven't heard any updates, but maybe I just dropped off the story. But I was waiting. I was like, is he gonna get killed also?
No, you're right. There's a lot of threads to follow right now, so it's hard to keep track, but I think that's a decent thread to be following right now.
Yeah, I mean, not to be like, you know, whatever, inane or something if it's not the right direction to go, but like,
no, it's I think that's something to pay attention to because that is a signal.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, weird, people going into prison and then disappearing, and then some of them are reported dead and some of them are just somewhere else.
On the other side of the spectrum, Ramsey Orta, who filmed Eric Garner's murder, they're you know, the way the police are ramping up brutality against him, and using COVID as a cover. There's a lot of that happening.
It's so disgusting
in the city right now.
Yeah, and there's I was just reading about like more police patterns. Just in general that really actually described the way that, you know, because like the last time that I was driving the truck and my co-driver was arrested,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, so now there's like reporting about like how police are just sort of doing these weird like blanketing things where they're like, oh, we stop people based on this profile that we made up for ourselves, and we just see what we can arrest them for, just loosening up a little bit of that, you know, probable cause, and just going for it. Just whoever for whatever, just...
Right, because it's a culling. It's a culling, because
yes.
part of it is they know that people aren't going to be able to pay their rent. So now the only way to get people out of their precious real estate holdings is to kill them. or imprison them.
Yeah, I mean, at least just, yeah, bring them to the labor camps.
Right.
Yeah, I've been reading about, like, the more of how the German identity was formed before, like, they were capable of Holocaust. And just, like, you know, reading, I just started getting into, like, Otto von Bismarck and stuff. And okay. Also, like Mussolini's sort of rise to power in the early years before things turned full fash or whatever, because everyone's like, fascism looks like this. And it's like, okay, yeah. I mean, we're living, neoliberalism is fascism. But yeah. It's just got, like, you know, a United Colors of Benetton ad as its front.
It's got veneers in.
Yes. So, but I was looking at, like, the state of Germany, like, a generation before their economic downturn, you know, and they had actually some of the strongest, like, worker protection rights in Europe. And they fucking had unions for everything because of it. And then,
yeah.
And then the union leaders were slaughtered. They were brought to concentration camps. They're just for being union leaders to demoralize the collective. And those are, like, tactics that are yeah. not beyond people, you know?
And the austerity that's happening, like, with both de Blasio and Cuomo, like, this is serious shit. Like, I recommended this to on the Twitter and Discord, but the interview that The Dig did with the author of Fear City.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw you post that.
I really recommend people read that. The sort of analogs to 60s and 70s New York and now. Is a lesson that we all need to process.
I know.
Because we're heading down some really fucked up paths. Really fucked up paths. Like, the de Blasio is cutting public sector employees and salaries. Cuomo is doing the same and doing making cuts to Medicaid. That shit's really bad.
Yeah, it's just that I think people don't understand still, like, you know, we were talking a little off mic about how the whole you know, the people who are still, like, registered Democrats, that they think, like, oh, we really need to elect Biden because we really need to stop the extent of this very dramatic downturn and like cushion the blow or something. But it's like, you know, we're already done. The time for that kind of, like, you know, compromised voting pattern ended.
Yeah, where were these fucking bitches for Cynthia Nixon?
No, honestly, no, everyone just goes, like, oh, I don't think that the person who's got really, like, actually beneficial policies has the right tone of leadership or something. And it's like, okay, so you don't think of yourself as completely cucked then? I mean, sorry, I would never direct that, like, to anyone in particular, because honestly, people make their emotional realities and their political realities out of experiences that I would never claim to understand.
No, it's like, you know, these folks who use the veneer of, like, oh, we gotta vote because we're more privileged, and what about the marginalized communities? I'm like, I'm fucking listening to the people more marginalized than me. I'm listening to them. And none of them are fucking voting for fucking Biden. Dude.
Yeah, I mean, that like, was a great, that was like a little great node in the media scape of those pieces that were going around. Like, here proportionally is like the racial makeup of people who do not vote, and here's the economic makeup. Mm-hmm. And it's like, by and large, the people who do not vote are the people who are the most disenfranchised and the people who could use public programs the most. Yep. Constantly, every election, it's just like, stop using these arguments against us, trying to bully everyone into getting behind someone who is a known rapist.
Seriously, I would urge, if there's like, for some fucking reason, whatever it is, maybe like, maybe you're a fan of some guest we had on or something and recommended us, and you're a liberal listening to this podcast for some reason. Read Lenin. Read State and Revolution. Like, just try it out, you know? Because, like, he outlines, like, you know, how bourgeois elections function. And it's like, another way to put it is like, you know, reiterating what Lucia is saying is like, there's a systemic bias for who is able to participate in these elections. And that is a function of the liberal hegemony of like, or the liberal like control of our politicians. Like, there's, and it's very, very difficult to try to pierce that Bernie was the compromise, and the people are gonna understand that the fucking hard way.
Yeah, honestly, it is gonna be the hard way, and it's just sort of, it's like, they're not gonna understand it. I mean, who knows when that moment will come, because right now the whole lib sector is like, haha, you fools, you've done picked the wrong horse, and everything's about winning, so now get behind the winner who lost already how many times. And I don't know when it's going to get to the point where they go, so maybe we did manage to get Sleepy Joe in, and now he's, you know, melting in front of us.
And whoopsies, it was bad. I mean, that's what the New York Times is doing. They're like, now that Bernie has dropped, they're saying, oh, whoopsie, he actually isn't electable after
all. Yeah, exactly. But now they're saying, oh, but the whole strategy is that it's going to be his vice president that matters. Like, yeah. Oh, it's going to be so, so cool when we have, like, you know, I mean, what Elizabeth Warren is angling to get in as the vice president.
It's not happening. It's not happening.
I know.
It's not happening.
It's so depressing.
I said this, I think, I don't remember if it was on the Discord or on a recording, but put money on like Susan Collins.
Oh, yeah. I know. Well, and yeah. Stacey Abrams is jumping in there.
I don't know if they'll pick her. I think the calculus that the liberals are going to do is be like, we need to become the reasonable Republicans.
Oh God,
I think that's what they're going to do.
Dying. they always have been. They're like, yeah. They're like, hey, we're all for ruling class interests, but we also know that we need servants, so.
We gotta treat our servants well.
Yeah, I mean,
meaning we'll pay them $13 an hour instead of $12.
Yeah, $15, guys. We gotta wait for inflation to rise a little before we get to that. Ugh. I mean, it's been really breathtaking to see like the discontinuity between people's experiences of the election. But like, I'm super into the way that we have proved that so many people can build a viable campaign off of grassroots actions, and that like,
yes,
we knocked the shit out of those doors. We made those phone calls. We made the donations, and it was all us. And we're never going to lose that.
And the charitable read of Bernie is that he didn't want to kill old people. He was tired of, like, you know, Biden, like, forcing these, like, you know, shams, forcing people, forcing poll workers to die in Illinois and Florida. And,
well, who knows? I don't think that Biden has any agency, actually. I just have been thinking it's like the establishment with like a Biden.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree.
It's just like, which is so just, oh my God, it's so disturbing.
I mean, the Biden camp, which is also the Bloomberg camp.
Right.
And, you know, the DNC.
Yeah.
And Obama.
So does that mean that Bloomberg now is going to donate his money to Biden?
He already has. He
didn't even wait for the nomination? Jesus.
What I thought was like a lot of his staff went to the Biden camp pretty immediately. And but I think he might. I haven't seen a lot about this, but I think he also might have given something to the Bernie camp, but I don't know what. I have to research that more. But I heard somebody from the Bernie camp say something along those lines.
Oh, weird. Yeah, because Bernie was saying that he wouldn't accept any donations from Bloomberg.
Or maybe it was like funneled from the DNC, but I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out in like some leaked emails in a month or something.
Yeah, I have to research. I on the Majority Report actually, there was like a Bernie staffer and he mentioned something like that. And I'm like, is he being flippant or is he being serious? I couldn't quite tell what that
was. Right. Oh, God. Well, anyway, welcome to Fascist Times. We're a podcast dedicated to figuring out when it's time
when it's going to happen.
Leave the country.
Yeah. Yep. They're murderers. Don't fucking.
Yeah.
Don't push your fucking. I know it's annoying. I do it all the time and it's really fucking annoying. Push your fucking family who are doing these just like tone deaf Cuomo bullshit. Like we've been saying this for weeks now, but
or you know what?
Serious.
Do anything
I don't know
you can to stay sane.
Yeah,
keep your eyes and ears open. Just know that your most paranoid thoughts about the danger of what lies ahead is pretty accurate, probably. And you should take care of your friends. And if you can't impart on everyone that this presidential, if you can't do it, then scrap it. Just fucking end it and put your energy like into mutual aid, because we're gonna need it.
Yeah, the people who are actually like on your side and supporting you, like, take stock. Like, that's like something I've been struggling with personally, is like, I've always, you know, had a very strong chosen family, and so that's like really beautiful. But I've always tried to like hold the candle out for the, you know, the random assortment of whatever family, to see if I can try to reach out to them and come to an understanding, but it's incredibly difficult. A lot of people are approving what side they're really on.
Yeah. And you know, fair enough. Better to know.
Yes.
I think like, yeah, I'm so happy with the people that I am connecting with, and like I'm actually being really surprised by a lot of responses, like, because I've been super honest about like what I'm experiencing and like what my material reality is. And like, I'm learning that there actually are people who care that I never knew. I never knew. And they're just like, hey, oh, I've been here. And, you know, I just, do you need anything? Like, because I was listening to what you said when you said you needed help. And I'm just like, oh, this is it. This is all we have to focus on now. And partially all we had to focus on as artists, like, kind of to begin with, because, you know, we've always had to sort of be the only ones to support, like, our crazy dreams.
Yeah, I mean, part of, you know, learning more about Marxist theory and shit like that is, like, learning how to, like, analyze our different positions in the past and, like, how to, you know, and our different projects and take stock of where we're at. And this is, you know, just another moment of having to do that, I guess.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, it's kind of, it's reminding me, speaking of, like, where everyone is at, I've been looking at, like, all of these Instagram accounts for...
Oh my god. Are we gonna get into this?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes, I know. Wait, this week.
I think so. Tell. I don't know.
No, it's a good... I'm gonna...
I think a little. I mean, I'll try to find some good ones, you know, because I don't know, like, if they're all gonna be... if they're all gonna be the best or whatever. But yeah,
tell the listener our idea here.
Okay, so I've been following all of these Instagram accounts that are, like, you know, David Zwirner and Gagosian and, like, Hauser and Wirth, and I just wanted to see what they would do about, like, our current predicament. You know, because we're art and labor, and what is the art world doing to address the situation? And so, yeah, there's some people who are, like, really into actually, you know, some artists are really truly connected to their environment and their communities, and they're like, yeah, my art comes from my activism, like, you know, that's why people know me. But then there's other people who are just sort of, like, very poetically going, like, you know, like, I saw this video of George Kondo, who is just, like, puttering around in his studio, and he's, like, a part of this whole like, a montage of artists who are like, hey, stay strong. Think about, like, you know, when we're out of this, the world's going to be brand new. It's going to be great. And then there's just a video of George Kondo, like, painting his same characters and saying nothing. And he lives, like, in this huge townhouse on the Upper East Side. And I'm like, yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up, dog. You paint through it, dude. Paint straight through. But here's a David Zwirner post. Oh, man. A message from Yayo Kusama. Today, with the world facing COVID-19, I feel the necessity to address it with this message. A message from Yayo Kusama to the whole world. Though it glistens just out of reach, I continue to pray for hope to shine through. Its glimmer lighting our way, this long-awaited great cosmic glow. Now that we find ourselves on the dark side of the world, the gods will be there to strengthen the hope we have spread throughout the universe. For those left behind, each person's story and that of their loved ones, it is time to seek a hymn of love for our souls. In the midst of this historic menace, a brief burst of light points to the future. Let us joyfully sing the song of a splendid future. Let's go. Embraced in deep love and the efforts of people all over the world, now is the time to overcome, to bring peace. We gather for love, and I hope to fulfill that desire. The time has come to fight and overcome our unhappiness. To COVID-19 that stands in our way, I say, disappear from this earth. We shall fight. We shall fight this terrible monster. Now is the time for people all over the world to stand up. My deep gratitude goes to all those who are already fighting. Revolutionists of the world, by the art, from Yayo Kusama.
And then like that video of all the celebrities singing Imagine.
Yes.
Comes on.
Yeah, that's, yeah, she did the preamble for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking nonsense, man. Make a Louis Vuitton bag about it. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, 3 days ago, Jeff Koons posts, "When I view the world, I don't think of my own work. I think of my hope that through art, people can get a sense of the type of invisible fabric that holds us all together, that holds the world together."
Yeah, your employees are all, or former employees are all fucking dying, and it's your fault.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's great. I love it. I love it.
Piece of shit.
I mean, like, I'm into poetry. But how dope would it be if one of these artists just got up and was like, "Yo, bitch, revolution now. Overthrow the bourgeoisie."
Seriously.
Like, seriously. Like, how dope would that be if it was like, "Yeah, I want to use this platform just for a hot second to say that I oppose fascism with every fiber in my body. I think that the people need to rise up and they need to take back their country. I think that our one chance for a socialist reconstruction has been shot, and I am using my art fame to say that."
Wait, here. Yeah, here's one. All of the museum and cultural workers who have been laid off, we're going to join together and overtake the Met and turn it into a place to house the homeless. That's what we're doing now.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Hello.
That's the plan.
Hello. I'm Yayo Kusama, and I just want to say that I took over Marina Abramovic's country home, and you're all welcome. You're all welcome here.
Yeah. Yeah, if we had like a black mask right now, they'd be doing shit like that.
Oh, seriously. Oh my God. Well, we don't, but we do have very lovely sentiments.
Just a thought.
Hey. Hey, have you ever thought about asking the virus to go away?
Stand together as one.
Yes. I mean, there's more if you want to really have like galaxy brain.
We are the world. Yeah, read me another "We Are the World" from the fucking,
okay, elite. let's see what do we got here. I gotta, because they were trying them out, and then they also went back to like regularly scheduled programming, because I think they were like, this is a bummer.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like find the ones that are sort of like buried in between everything.
Yeah, they're trying to follow Cuomo's lead, basically, because now Cuomo's following Trump's lead, being like, "We're gonna reopen the fucking economy." And so enough bummer posting. Let's get everyone to go back to work.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is nice. Okay, Hauser and Wirth, new works by Rashid Johnson made since the onset of the coronavirus pandemic will launch the 16th of April with our online exhibition, Untitled Anxious Red Drawings. Using oil stick-on cotton rag paper, the artist has updated the visual language of his long-established Anxious Men series, in which deceptively crude archetypal faces express the fundamental tensions and traumas that course through contemporary life. The artist will donate 10% of his proceeds of the sale of works from this exhibition to the COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund for the World Health Organization, matching Hauser and Wirth's commitment to support the fund through donation of 10% of its gross profits from all online exhibitions as part of the gallery's ongoing Art for Better initiative, which I'm going to say, cool, that's good. Good, do it even more, do it all the time, but also, holy shit, galleries are bailing out the World Health Organization.
That's fucked.
Totally insane. Also, please keep doing it. Everybody go buy a Rashid Johnson if you can. It'll help Jesus us. Christ. It'll help us all stay alive now.
I would prefer if the galleries collectivized, said we're not paying rent. I don't know. Maybe not, but I don't want to be prescriptive about the fucking galleries. I don't know what to tell them. I guess that's better than nothing.
Dude, I think that's, you know what? Comparatively speaking, like, fucking check it out. They're stepping up. They're stepping up and they don't have to.
It's true. Wait, I'm going to pause really quick because I have to pee.
Yeah. Oh, I'm on the recording still. Hey. You're peeing and I'm sitting here thinking about how the world could be different. I don't know just where to go with it, but I know that you reach out a helping hand and you change the world. Artist on Instagram, changing the world, making it happen. You're the pearl in the oyster. Changing the world, yeah, we're changing the world. Making it happen. Looking
and seeing. I'm still on Instagram, don't you know?
Wow. And, you know, there's a whole lot of art out there. There's so much. Did you know that Greta Bratescu's writings take on a new significance today in the context of social distancing?
I'm sorry. Wait, repeat.
Oh, I was just... I made a little song while you were using the restroom because I realized we were still recording.
Oh, wow. We're going to leave all this in?
Okay, cool. Yeah. There was a couple of beats where I thought it had paused because I was just looking at Instagram, and then I realized you left the record on, so I started singing, and then yeah.
Listen back to that later.
Uh-huh. It's a present. yeah, no, I was just still looking through these posts, that are like, I'm trying to figure out my relationship to art in the whole scheme of, the way that it's like becoming increasingly difficult to concentrate on anything but like immediate life.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
Yeah, and like what does it mean, you know, because I still believe in art. I always will. And it changes, you know, I'm not like I believe in fucking the system, but I believe in that I believe that an artistic spirit will prevail, and I'm just trying to find like where it is, you know.
Yeah, I don't do you want to air out your thoughts on that fucking Jerry Saltz piece?
Oh gosh. Yeah, I mean, so yeah, Jerry Saltz wrote a little, like, was it last week or something?
Yeah.
About
who at the same time was like hitting like mainstream discourse about his insane coffee habits.
Yes. Yes.
God.
I absolutely fucking loved how everyone lost their minds.
Yeah, it's like we know this guy's a fucking freak, like.
Yeah, but they're like, "Look at how many cups there are. I'm freaking out. He drinks coffee out of cups."
Like, yeah, art world people are fucking dysfunctional freaks, like we know.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, I'll show you my living habits.
God.
I mean, jeez. But no, I mean, it was interesting to read for me because Jerry Saltz is that kind of voice that has broad appeal, and people, whether it's good or bad, will say, you know, he's the guy that I check in with for the art critic stuff. And he's saying, like, that the art world is going to burn, and it already is starting, and the one thing that is going to get us through is, like, the passion and obsession that we came in with, which I agree, because it's like a traumatizing and thankless industry to take part in many times, but if you come in with some central understanding of what you want to achieve with the audience that is present and everything, it's like you somehow do live on dreams. Dysfunctionally as fuck, but like,
right.
You know, and just participating with smaller galleries and stuff and like feeling.
Right. And there's winners and losers, of course, and shit.
Yeah. And it's sort of like,
because it's like it's very neoliberalized in its current form, and its historical form, really, for the most part.
Yeah, it's always been this sphere of non-regulation and this place where it's like, what is it called? Like a estuary, where, you know, it's like all of these different inputs are meeting, and there is still this weird opportunity. And it's something that I really like, you know, when I was a student and I was looking at Jeff Koons' work, and he made this series of, like, you know, all of this like luxury and degradation, and when he was talking about the way that like joining sports was a way out of, like, out of impoverishment. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know what, like art, I thought, was going to be like that if I just treated it like I'm an athlete and I am the best, then I will go to the Olympics and then I'll get a fucking Wheaties endorsement and I don't know what else to
do. Kekosian show.
And I don't know what else to do. I just, like, you know. So I look at this stuff.
I think there is a tendency to, like, wholesale dismiss the neoliberal institutions, but I think we need to keep tabs on them as well as the conservative institutions, and it's important to understand their perspective. So I think the, like, impulse to just wholesale dismiss Jerry Saltz because he is a, like, anti-union fucking shill idiot, like, that I'm speaking as myself here, but I definitely believe that.
Oh, no,
but
we agree that he's
agree on that.
Big dum-dum.
big time dum-dum. It's still important to understand the neoliberal mind, and it's important to understand the fucking conservative mind, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's why, you know, like the Joe Rogan fucking debate, like all that shit, like that shit's important. We have to appeal to them. Like, I mean, it's probably at this point easier to appeal to the conservatives than the fucking neoliberals.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a separatist in terms of the information I take in. I'm like, okay, well, that's what your opinion is. This is what this person is saying. And I understand their character. And that's how.
You are smart and grounded.
Ah, shucks. And, you are
and
too.
Everyone online is operating in this, like, realm where they're like, we have to put out the best foot forward in our, like, analysis and propaganda online. So some people are, I think, and that's one way to go about shit. But you know, we reiterate on this show over and over again, like, you know, what are these sources? What is their class position? What is, like, you know, we're able to differentiate our sources of information. But that's a skill, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, like, knowing what I do about, like, Jerry Salt's background, he has had many periods of time where he was, like, completely destitute. So he's not speaking from some sort of, like, you know, holier than thou trust fund account. He's like, yeah, I'm in this industry because I remember the way that it was when I started. And, you know, he started out also trying to be an artist. And, you know, he got fucking kicked around the same as all of us. And then he started trying to the best of his ability, you know, to create a voice that would highlight the sort of like cognitive dissonance that everybody goes through in feeling like this industry is alienating. And to a point, I mean, he has broadened the audience for art in a way that a lot of people have given him credit for. So we don't need to really toot his horn that hard because he's a fucking still a fucking dumb. Both things can be true.
Yes, both things can be true.
Yeah.
Wow, people's class positions change throughout time. What?
Yes. but it was just really like a sobering moment for him to go like, yeah, bud. I was talking to the gallery, like, whatever, I think he was saying, like, Ramekin Crucible or whatever. And I mean, they're great space. And they're like, this next chapter is going to be like forged in blood. And to see that, like, you know, written down and published and circulating in an arena that is generally ignoring stuff or making it really poetic, like the Yayo Kusama thing, it's like,
right. Shit,
dude. That's how you can tell the writing is on the wall and things are going to be something.
Yeah, for real. It's becoming clear which side people are on.
Yeah. And what we're facing, because nobody is coming really to save us. We're all sort of scrabbling together what we can, and like, you know, just applying for grants, just hoping we get one, you know.
Applying for grants and participating in mutual aid is like, and which is like a way for us to format grants within our own communities, like, and funnel resources within our own communities. I know, like, in the Ridgewood Mutual Aid group, like, we've been able to fundraise pretty effectively and provide grocery grants to families, you know, single moms with like four kids, like,
oh hell yeah,
and shit like that, like multiple situations like that we're able to fundraise from, like, these more like professional class networks that are still employed right now. And like, because even the folks on benefits aren't, it's not enough. It's not fucking enough. The state is truly failing people.
Well, the thing that's happening with, in terms of like the economic relief is that, like, we have all of these people that qualify for unemployment and they're getting X amount of dollars. And then we have all of these essential workers who are still fucking making like minimum wage. And then
it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden all these unemployed people who just were like a secretary for somebody or whatever. I mean, well, and bless everyone. Everyone deserves a life. Everyone deserves the same amount of care. It's just like, why are some people getting it and others aren't? And like,
right. And I want you to talk about that healthcare worker Medium article that you posted. I want to add really quick about the like Trader Joe's union.
Oh yeah,
they just posted a thing that Trader Joe's is finally, just now, like just fucking today, taking this shit more seriously.
Jesus Christ.
just now allowing like all workers to like wear masks and gloves. Like, and someone had to fucking die in like the fucking store that my fucking friends worked at / still work at. It's insane.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that actually feels like to be a Trader Joe's worker who has to show up because they, you know, it's like I don't have anything else to do for income, and I go to the place where my friend died.
Yeah. Yeah, because of mismanagement. Directly because of mismanagement. Because people have been pushing them to allow the workers to wear gloves. They weren't allowing them to wear gloves.
Yeah.
And masks.
And the masks make people feel nervous. Like, maybe there's something icky going on. Like, maybe it's scary. And so, can you just not scare the customers? It makes them want to buy less.
And, like, Trader Joe's has always been, like, lauded for being, like, a slightly better employer, for, like, employing seniors and employing, like, people who don't, you know, get a fair shake at shit. But those are the people they killed also.
Yep.
Like, they're not good. Fuck them.
I mean, the whole thing is that we'd be hard-pressed to find any company that is treating this situation well. I don't know.
It's garbage. It's garbage, and Trump is being like the neoliberal in chief, like, you know, letting all these companies get free airtime on all the major networks to like say they're doing something when they're fucking killing people in reality.
I did see some really cute news that there is a little movement of landlords. And they're all sort of like, you know, smaller, obviously, like people who own a 2-unit house or something. But some of them were getting together and like going on social media to announce to other landlords that they are not only like refusing to collect rent, but they're also like getting groceries and stuff together for their tenants.
See, yeah, I mean, I want to believe that could be something widely adoptable, but
no, I mean, like, it's not widely adoptable, but what it is evidence.
Yeah.
And if some of them can do it, then like what the hell is wrong with the rest of them?
Yeah, it's something that you should be able to point to in your situation and be like, look, here's the reality. I know Cuomo's telling you one thing, but it's bullshit. My friend just died. You know, like, you have to be real with these people.
Yeah.
You can't keep babysitting them.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's like, hey, this is something where we're all facing extreme, extreme, like, fucking chaos. And if you think that it's appropriate to meet that chaos with a demand for capital, then think again, because these people over here are meeting the chaos with aid, and they are of your class, and you can do that too.
Yeah, for real. And I wanted to shout out the healthcare workers that were calling for an action today, I believe.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You know, to bring awareness to that, you know, like that piece you posted, like they're getting paid less in a lot of situations than people on unemployment.
Yeah.
It's not right. It's not right. It's not okay.
Yeah. It's completely not all right. And it's just like seeing who has been also denied unemployment is really intense.
Totally.
It's like, I don't know, guys. Can't we get like, I mean, if we've got all of this, come on, just come on.
Ugh. I mean, we have Ro Khanna introduced a $2,000 a month thing into the Senate.
Mm.
that could maybe go somewhere, maybe not, I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably veto it, I don't know. They'll means test it to shit in committee. But
yeah, I don't know. But this Heroes Fund bill is pretty good.
What bill is that? Sorry.
This is the COVID-19 Heroes Fund that's proposed by the Senate Democrats that talks about how we can fund essential workers. So like some of the components are, or the two, it's a $25,000 pandemic premium pay increase for essential frontline workers. That is effective up until December 31st, which is dope. It's just like, hey, now you make $25,000 more dollars a year. And then the second point is a $15,000 recruitment incentive for health and home care workers and first responders to attract and secure the workforce needed to fight the public health crisis. So it's like, yeah, they're just like, you'll get this pay tacked on to whatever you were getting paid. And if you start working, you get more thousands, which I'm like, I mean, this isn't an ideal model by any means, but
right.
Honestly, there should be, I mean, when I saw this piece and I was talking to people about it, I was like, yo, honestly, we should have like a class action fucking suit against all of the companies that delayed the COVID response, and it should be like,
yeah,
after that we should decide which figures that we want to have like a Nuremberg trial for.
yes.
You know, yes. We'll have tiers of accountability here, ending with the utmost elimination of the figures who caused the greatest murders.
Ah, yes. Central Park reopened.
Oh, God. I cannot stand the fucking tent hospital in Central Park when we have so much harder hit areas in our city. Like,
disgusting.
The Bronx needs huge amounts of support that they are not getting, and Elmhurst needs fucking support.
I know, like, I mean, like I'm saying, it's a culling because these are the working class neighborhood holdouts, and the real estate powers know this, and they don't give a shit. Because if they're dead, that means that their holdings are going to open up in the future.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, we're about at the end.
Yeah.
I wanted to plug our panel.
Oh, right. Yeah, we're going to be on a panel on the 19th.
Yeah, on Zoom.
Is it Zoom? What is?
I don't know.
It's like,
or it's another one.
Some shit. Jesus Christ, everybody wants to talk.
Well, I love Peter, who's putting it together, and Ian from the Art Handlers Alliance.
Yeah. No, it's going to be great. I'm just being sourpuss.
About the Zoom stuff.
Yeah. No, it's going to be at 1:00 on the 19th, and we will post the invitation so that everybody can hop on and join us.
Yeah, and follow Art Comments, and we'll post that. And yeah, Peter from Art Comments is great. It's called Neoliberal Promises.
Yeah, very apropos.
Yeah. I guess we were like practicing for that today.
Seriously. When aren't we, though?
Seriously. I want to read On Charity. That's another reading thing.
Oh, right. I do. Yeah.
We'll probably do that soon. We have time, but we are kind of busy, me and you.
Oh my God, trying to live? Yes.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I thought I was going to have nothing to fill my time, but it turns out I am still working from home.
Well, it's good, and I loved this episode, and I hope everyone out there is having as much fun as they can, given the circumstances.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. Dude, we're still having a great time, actually. One thing I'm very happy about is I have a Sunday night Zoom where I just talk to friends that I've had since I was like in undergrad, and you know, just my longest of long time buds, and some you know, inviting some people here and there. But, you know, just because I'm not on Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
So I've been doing, I've been like, oh, I should get my shit together and interface for fun.
Yeah, that's what, it's so important. Like, because that's what I've been doing with, like, some of my really close friends is we all have this game and we call each other on the phone and play the game and catch up.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
No, it's amazing. And everyone is having such a great time on Animal Crossing, and I don't have a Switch, and I just don't, you know, whatever.
And you can't get one now because they're price gouging them to shit.
Yeah, which is fine because whatever. But I have this, I have my little Zoom party. I highly recommend it for anybody, you know, make a Zoom party for yourself, dog.
Yeah, and again, join our Discord. We play Jackbox games, which anyone can play with a phone or computer. It's really fun.
That's what's up.
We have a voice chat in our Discord. It's great. Everyone, love ya. Take care.
Yeah, everybody stay alive out there. I get if you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy. It doesn't really matter if you drive a limousine. You drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you just drive a truck. I don't care if you just drive a limousine. It doesn't really matter if you drive a Ferrari. I really don't care because I just love your company. Let's have fun. 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 Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun.